You're listening to Cross the Border. My name's Nicholas. My website, crosstheborder.org. Please visit the website. Take advantage of the resources there. You can go to the Bible studies page. You can see some links to pages and interesting articles there. You'll find all of these Bible studies listed there, audio Bible studies that you can go through and you can listen to them at your own leisure. Get out your Bible, get out your eSword, and follow along with me. And I would like also to hear from you. These are troublesome days. I know that everybody is, a lot of people are hurting and need instruction. They don't have much to give. At least you can pray for me or give me a kind word or even a challenge. I accept it all. You know, if you have any questions, you challenge anything I'm saying, you know, open up that Bible and list those verses and tell me why you think that what I'm saying should be challenged. You know, get out your King James Version, get out your eSword and study it out. And, you know, let's agree together. Let's find that interpretation of the Scripture that is not a private interpretation, something that we can agree together upon by His Holy Spirit. Because we are seekers of the truth, and we only want to know the truth. We only want to use the Scripture to interpret Scripture. That's my quest here. That's what I'm doing. That's what I want to know. And that's the whole purpose for my biblical studies here, is to seek out what is the truth and not have an agenda, not have a predetermined result, but to let the Scripture interpret the Scripture and let the results, let it fall where it may. No private interpretation. It's not good enough to simply agree to disagree. If we're both in Messiah by His Spirit, then we need to agree. That's right. Let His Holy Spirit determine. If we have to agree to disagree, well, I guess that means that you're not going to go after me and kill me because I'm different. In that case, I'll agree to disagree with you. You go your way, I'll go mine. But I'm looking for the interpretation, the Scripture's interpretation of itself, down to each word and each letter. Now, apparently, I'm not going to get through the next three chapters of Ezekiel today. So perhaps before we continue, we'll just talk a little bit about Ezekiel for those that need a little catching up. When we began reading Ezekiel, he was carried away 11 years before the destruction by the Babylonians and several years before the siege at Jerusalem. When the king of Babylon first visited Israel to announce that it was a tributary of his kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon, yes, Nebuchadnezzar came in and he announced that Israel was a tributary, that it was under the rule of Babylon, the new worldwide one-world empire of the day. And he took many of the young men, the prime men, away with him into Babylon to serve him. Many learned men and scholars and all of the wise men of Israel he carried away, among them Daniel and, yes, Ezekiel, writing this. And Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, he had carried them way into Babylon for his service in Babylon so that he could serve them there. And that's how Daniel ended up. And however, those he left in charge there to administer, the natives he left behind to serve him and administer his tributary, Israel, Jerusalem, Judea, the land of the Hebrews, however you want to say it, well, they rebelled against him. That's right. And they started seeking friendship with the nations around to come to their aid. They started making treaties with Egypt and the Canaanites and whatever nations were around about to come and make a treaty together and make a compact and a mutual defense thing, and that we'll fight Babylon when it comes. And that's what they did. So Babylon came against them and they sieged the city. That's right, because, you know, they had a defensible perimeter around Jerusalem, so they were sieged inside. They couldn't get out. They couldn't get food in, and so they were starved to death. So famine and pestilence came. It was a terrible time. And this is the time just before that siege. That's when Ezekiel starts writing, and he writes about the siege that's going to come because of the disobedience, because of the overspreading of the abominations in Israel. That's why this all came about, and their punishment. And the Heavenly Father wrote in Jeremiah, he said that Babylon is a sword of judgment in my hand. And of course, we remember Babylon founded at the Tower of Babel when all the people of the earth came together and said, we're going to build a tower into heaven, signifying we're going to rule the earth by our own strength. We're going to have a one world government. That's what they said. And the Almighty said, that ain't going to happen. And something miraculous, something divine and inexplicable happened. They all were confounded, and they came together, and this household, this tribe over here, couldn't understand that tribe over there. He confused their speech. And so he scattered them, and the tribes that spoke the same language, those families that went in this direction, and he scattered them throughout the earth. And another tribe that spoke a different language, they went in a different direction, so he confused their language and scattered them throughout all the earth. He reserved one world government till he would wield it in his hand as a sword in judgment. Yes, Babylon, the first one world government, rose up in a time of the choosing of the Almighty. He delayed one world government, the new world order. Yes, mystery Babylon, the times of the Gentiles, until he would wield it as a sword in his hand in judgment against his own nation, Israel. So he went around, so the king of Israel rebelled against their master, the king of Babylon, and they were besieged in the city, and a terrible time came. He sent emissaries to the nations round about, trying to make a league with them so that they could fight together against the king of Babylon, and nothing came of it. Mm-mm. They all remembered their hatred for Israel. That's right. And how Israel was wielded as a sword in judgment against them. And they took the land of Canaan and slew nations. Oh, and then when the king of Babylon, see, judgment begins at the house of Yahuwah. So guess who got judged first when the Heavenly Father wielded Babylon as his sword in judgment? Ah, he came first against Israel. Then all of the, against his own people, the people called by his name, the Yahudi. That's right. He came and he judged his own nation first by turning them over to the king of Babylon. Then they rebelled because they wouldn't listen to the prophet who spoke the word of God. They threw him into prison. That was Jeremiah in prison in the middle of Jerusalem during the siege. Before and during the siege, that is, because he wouldn't listen. He's saying, go out, surrender to the king of Babylon, and it will go well with you. But they wouldn't. They hardened their stiff neck and listened to the false prophets. And the king and all of them were destroyed. That's right. Well, the king wasn't destroyed. The king of Babylon slew his sons before his eyes as they were trying to escape. When the siege was finally ended and broken, they tried to escape out the secret way. And the king of Babylon caught up with them, and the king of Babylon stood there, and he brought his sons, all of the princes, before his eyes. And they were slain before their father, the king of Israel, that rebellious king of Israel, rebellious not only to the Heavenly Father, but to the king of Babylon. And then he plucked his eyes out and took him to prison and put him in prison in Babylon, where he died, having the last thing he ever saw was his own sons being slain before his eyes. That was the judgment. And so the Heavenly Father judged Israel. But the other nations laughed, and they were excited, and they cheered. You know, you see something like that today. You saw it on the TV when the towers fell in New York City, and the nations cheered. That's what he was talking about. They had parties and stuff. Boy, they were just so happy when that happened. They took delight in the judgment of others. But their judgment is coming too. The Heavenly Father, after he finished his judgment, that begins with the house of Yahuwah, he begins with his own people. Then he visited that judgment upon all the nations around about. And then finally, I mean, this is what Ezekiel chronicles for us. This is what we read in Ezekiel. Then finally, that nation that he wielded as his sword and judgment, first at the house of the Yahudi, so wielding the sword of Babylon, first in the house of the Lord, the Yahudi, then visited all the nations round about, using the sword of Babylon as his weapon in his hand as a sword of judgment, then brought judgment against Babylon itself for its iniquities. That is how our Heavenly Father deals with nations. Ezekiel, very poignant. In its place in history, the rebuilding of the temple, all chronicled here. In the end, the Heavenly Father telling, first I'm going to judge you by bringing in Babylon. Then I'm going to judge you in the siege because of your continued rebellion. Then I'm going to judge you in the desolations for the overspreading of abominations. Then you're going to have the 70 years desolations. Then you're going to come back out of the land, and I'm going to restore it to you. And here's your instructions when you come out of the land for the temple, the service, and the city, and the change in your government. Because big changes. The government would never be what it was. They would have rule in their own land, and it would be limited rule, because they would always be under the times of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles, the times of the nations be fulfilled. As the Messiah said, Mystery Babylon, the times of the Gentiles. That's what Ezekiel chronicles for us. Now giving us instructions, a blueprint for the temple, and instructions for the priest temple sacrifice service, instructions for the city and the partitions, instructions for the kings and the government, how their government is to change and how it is to be limited. That's right. No longer would they be wielded as a sword of judgment against the nations. That's a big change for Israel. Clearly spelled out here in Ezekiel. Gog and Magog, put it in its place. We went through that too in the several chapters that covered Gog and Magog. Ezekiel reaching far into the future during that time. It's not about the 7-year tribulation deception time that so many people believe in. Let's take it in context. If you didn't hear those chapters, I challenge you to listen to my entire study on Ezekiel when it is posted on the website. Okay, continuing here, we got a few minutes. Perhaps we'll finish up this chapter talking about the measures and the oil and the particulars in the temple service. The shekel shall be 20 gerahs. You know, that would be like an ounce and grains in their measure. Not exactly an ounce and grains, but just, you know, that type of measurement. A shekel shall be 20 gerahs. That's like saying an ounce shall be 28 grains. 20 shekels, 5 and 20 shekels, 15 shekels shall be your mina. This is the oblation that you shall offer, the sixth part of an ephah of a homer of wheat. And you shall give the sixth part of an ephah of a homer of barley, according to the ordinance of oil. The bath of oil, you shall offer the tenth part of a bath, out of the core, which is a homer of 10 baths, for 10 baths are a homer, and one lamb out of the flock, out of 200, out of the fat pastures of Israel, for a meat offerings, and for a burnt offering, and for a peace offerings, to make reconciliation for them, saith Adonai Yahuwah. All of the people of the land shall give this oblation for the prince of Israel. And it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings to and meat offerings and the drink offerings in the feasts and in the new moons and in the Sabbaths and all of the solemnities of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings to make reconciliation for the house of Israel. Thus saith Adonai Yahweh, the Lord God, in the Authorized King James Version. And in the first month of the first day of the month, thou shalt take a young bullock without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. And of course, we're not talking about January 1st by the Roman calendar. We're talking about the calendar that the Heavenly Father gave the children of Israel in the desert. And the first day of the first month was the new moon of Abib or Aviv. Like you have the word Tel Aviv, that's Spring Hill. That's what Tel Aviv means, Spring Hill. And but Abib or Aviv is also referring, they call it Spring Hill because it happens in the spring. That's right. Abib or Aviv is the springtime. It is the time of year when the barley or the winter wheat reaches full maturity, is completely saturated and fully fat and ready for harvest on the stalk in the field. That's Abib. So when you have a new moon and you have Abib at the same time, that is the beginning of the first month. So their months were moon cycles. Yes, moon cycles. That's what we're talking about here, moon cycles. And I also have go to my website, crosstheborder.org. You'll see an article there on the right-hand side, you know, or you can scroll down to you. I don't think it's kind of an older article. So on the right-hand side, you'll see a link there. It says, what month is it? To understand the calendar that the Heavenly Father gave the children of Israel in the desert, in the Exodus, when he gave them a calendar. He didn't give them, no one got the calendar before that I know of. It's not recorded anywhere before the Exodus. So Abib was the first month, and of course, going by a moon cycle, that meant that they had a additional month, 7 of 19 months, they had a second or a 13th month, which they called second Adar. And it was considered the same as first Adar. So if you had an anniversary that began in second Adar, the next year you would have that anniversary in first Adar because there would be no second Adar. So they would have an extra moon cycle in the year, 7 of 19 years. Because they were waiting for Abib, the conjunction of those two occurrences. So they had a truly, you know, they had a hybrid calendar that was lunar and solar, kind of. But it was on the occasion of Abib, not really the occasion of the sun. But we know that Abib was regulated by the seasons of the sun. So it was not a solar calendar by any means, or a hybrid solar-lunar calendar. I guess that's as close as you could get to calling it a hybrid solar-lunar calendar. But it's clearly delineated, clearly spelled out in the scripture there. So that's the first month that he's talking of here. In the first month, chapter 45, verse 18, in the first month, in the first day of the month, thou shalt take a young bullock without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. Here we have the cleansing again. And I believe this is the cleansing that was the 2300 days was referring to. This was the cleansing. Okay, the first cleansing after 2300 days, 6 point whatever years from the time that Daniel was given the prophecy of the cleansing of the sanctuary, 2300 days, I believe this was the event right here, the cleansing of the sanctuary. Because there it is, it's even the same language, you know, in the first day of the first month. Because remember, they finished the temple in Adar. Go to Ezekiel, I mean, as the Ezra chapter 6, you'll find there that they finished the temple in the month of Adar. And so that means that the cleansing of the temple was soon there. This cleansing of the temple would have been on the first day of the first month, which follows Adar. Okay? So we get to the cleansing of the temple and the literal fulfillment of the 2300 days. So there it is. Thus saith Adonai Yahweh, in the first month of the first day of the month, thou shalt take a young bullock without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. Cleansing the sanctuary. And the priest shall take the blood of a sin offering and put it upon the posts of the house and upon the four corners of the settle of the altar and upon the posts of the gate of the inner court. And so shalt thou do in the seventh day of the month for every one that erreth. And for him that is simple, so shall you reconcile your house. So those that err, and so those that are simple. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover. A feast of 7 days unleavened bread shall be eaten. And upon the day shall the prince prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock and a sin offering. So the king was supposed to be in there too. And 7 days. I think that's a change from the instruction given, because it changes. And you know what? Come to think of it, that change, I believe that signifies the coming of the Messiah in his place as king and high priest. I understand there a little more the change. No more judgment, no more blood on the king's hands. Now the king is taking part in the priest temple sacrifice system here and offering. There's a change. You see the change there. Because in the original, through Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the king wasn't involved. As a matter of fact, there was no king. That's right. There was no king in Israel. They were given judges. They were given a total different government until they said, we want a king like the other nations. And of course, we see that failure of the people was something that our Heavenly Father took, and he turned it to use for good, looking forward to Messiah and king. Aha! And I say aha, and that's a good aha, because I'm getting a little more understanding. What do I say about that? Hallelujah! I'm getting more revelation from the Holy Spirit as we speak. So, I mean, it is worthwhile to go through the scripture, chapter by chapter, book by book, verse by book, verse, even trudge through the genealogies and the blueprints for the temple and all of the details of the priest temple sacrifice system, and you get these little gems that just add so much. King and priest, Yahshua, Messiah. Hallelujah. That's what I have to say. Well, that's all we have time for today. And we'll finish up Ezekiel next time on Cross the Border.